This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 12:35 here in the studio. I'm Rich Bradbury.
I'm Vinny Brudge.
This, of course, is Enterprise Biz Bytes. The question we're asking today is, at what point is it okay to dip into your retirement funds before retirement? We've got some feedback on that we'll get to in just a few moments. But first, we have an update from Bursa Malaysia at break from Arvin.
Yeah, so it is up by 0.68% at 1,571 points. Active stocks include Borneo Oil Berhad, DGB Asia Berhad, and XOX Berhad. The ringgit is at 4.18 against the US dollar. It is at 3.02 against the Aussie dollar and 3.06 against the Sing dollar.
Right. Before we get on to our next story, a couple of messages I want to look at from WhatsApp. Ro, hello there, Ro. First of all, he says, never say never. One day when you reach the office to find it padlocked and you can't see in because of the bailiff's notice plastered on the glass, you may consider EPF the same way you'd consider the YMCA when you're down on your luck. Very true. Also, Benji has just said, EPF is good. I was working in a tax-free country for a few years, used to just blowing away the money. It takes real discipline to control ourselves. I can't, so I let the system do it for me. Auto-deduct via EPF, ASBN, stash away, and auto-debit for bills and commitments. What's left is what I can spend or save, unless I need to buy something that will save in two different bank accounts, one for holiday and two for emergency funds. Mm-hmm. I've started doing that, funnily enough, a couple of years ago.
Different pots.
I have a stash away account, I have a holiday account, I have a few other bits and pieces. Full disclosure, I have some cryptocurrency as well, so I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. That's something I've been into for a while, and that's doing okay right now.
Mm-hmm. Adulting.
Adulting, yes. just a few years too late. Now, working from home, this is our next story, of course, and it's about how to work with people who aren't so good at working remotely. And there are people out there, of course. Most of us have spent the majority of 2020 working from home or in on split shifts or whatever you want to call it, and there's nothing to suggest that the remaining months of the year will see any kind of change. Two reasons, of course. Keeping workers safe should be the number one priority for businesses, even if that means putting up with potential short-term deficits in productivity or motivation. And the other is that most people are now used to working from home, and many are actually enjoying it more and actually even performing better than when they were back in the office. I know I have colleagues like that, I have friends like that, who are doing way, way better both mentally and in terms of production because they're able to work from home a lot. But many, not at all. In fact, working from home is still not a natural arrangement for a large proportion of the workforce. And there's a difference between getting used to temporary arrangements and adapting to it in the long run. So those who transitioned from an office to a virtual-only environment would have seen clear individual differences in people's abilities to adapt to the office-less age. And some are struggling, of course. Amongst the most obvious barriers to working from home include having to balance parenting mm-hmm. or other family responsibilities, stuff like your dependents and whatever. Comfortable setup, fast and reliable Wi-Fi space and whatever, and being naturally sociable and gregarious. So the more extroverted you are, the more lonely you're going to feel working from home. The good news is that you can actually make it feel a little bit easier for others to work from home, even if they're not naturally pre-wired for it. A couple of things that you can do. Number one, understand people's preferences. Now, we often talk about working from home as if it were a single unitary activity. However, there are as many individual preferences and approaches to working at home as there are to working in an office. So your starting point should be to understand people's personal circumstances and tendencies. It's harder to do when you can't see the people in person. Not because you must navigate the delicate balance between knowing about their arrangements, which will inevitably include information about their private life and respecting their privacy, but you can focus on work-related matters, allowing your colleagues to disclose as much personal information as they want. So, for example, you can ask them how they prefer to connect, whether it's video calls, email, WhatsApp messages, or the humble phone call, you know, and what time or what day of the week and for how long and all of that kind of stuff. And it seems rather obvious to do that, but just enforcing that we're going on a Zoom call. There are people who really don't feel comfortable about going on a Zoom call.
Oh, yeah.
And you will never see them on FaceTime or on a WhatsApp video call or anything mm-hmm. on a personal level because they just don't feel comfortable with yep. it. And I think enforcing that on some people is not necessarily the best way to do things because people just don't like it. You can also be flexible but above all predictable. So the ultimate measure of making it easier for others to work with you is to adjust your behaviours to fit their preferences, which will make you rewarding to deal with. Regardless of whether you manage this or not, there's one key attribute you must consider if you are truly interested in helping others to work with you. That is being as predictable as possible. So whatever your preferences are, turn them into a default pattern so that your colleagues are not surprised and they have an easier time adjusting to you. Like any other crisis, it's been a huge shock to everyone because it's forced us to adjust to an unfamiliar, unpredictable circumstance. So do stuff like make yourself available at whatever time it is, you know, and if you're a boss, for example, or if you're a manager. You know, if they want to get in touch with you, make yourself available between those office hours or whatever, and don't feel weirded out if they're getting in touch with you via WhatsApp. Is that what you've been doing before?
Yep.
Finally, just be kind and caring, because empathy goes a really long way. And even before the pandemic, the business world woke up to the realization that empathy matters, especially for leadership. The global health crisis has exacerbated this. There's never been a better time to show your kindness to others, even if you have to do it over Zoom. Now, when we've had our Zoom meetings or our Google Hangouts or whatever, inevitably, it ends up being a little bit silly towards the end. And, you know, we have a few little jokes and whatever. But that's because we're a close team.
Yep. Right?
And we've worked very alongside each other for a long time. So we know what we can and what we can't do and the boundaries that we have. But just being a little bit empathetic, you know, and understanding that there are people who genuinely struggle whilst they're working at home. And there are also people who don't like to be in a meeting for too long.
Mm-hmm.
And realizing that and thinking, okay, well, this person's getting uncomfortable now. Maybe we should wrap up the meeting, I think is key to keeping this thing going, because we know very likely that this thing is going to be going on for a longer period of time than we expected.
Yeah, I mean, for like a long, long time if people don't fix it or don't take care. And also there's a thing where when you're doing all these things, when you're contacting someone who's at home, whether it's WhatsApp or phone or Zoom or whatever it is, it's still their home.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I think people tend to forget, especially over the last like 4, 5, 6 months, because we've been working so much from home that it's considered an extension of your office.
Yes.
I find myself not using my study as much because I use my study for work.
It has that vibe.
Yeah. So on like weekends or in the night, I'm using my sofa, I'm sitting at my dining, I'm using my laptop in the living room, because if I'm sitting at my study, which was designed for myself to work at home, I feel like I'm working, which is weird. So I think a lot of people go through those sort of emotions and they want to disconnect for a while.
I think I've managed to balance it quite well. I mean, as I've said to you before, I have a separate room that I work in at home as an office space. But what I've also done with that space is I've put a sofa in it.
Mm.
So that, you know, I can be at my desk doing my work.
Yep.
And then when I think, okay, I just need 5 minutes, instead of just still wanting to work, but I can sit back on the sofa and have 5 or 10 minutes if I need to browse Reddit or if I need to look at an article somewhere.
Just chill a bit.
Just chill, but still be in that kind of half-working mindset.
Yeah.
And that's really, really helped, I think.
Yeah, yeah, the balance.
Is that a little bit of balance, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. We're going to take a short break. We are coming to the end of this segment, and that is all about what you can do to help people who are not so good at working from home. You know, three things: understand people's preferences, be flexible, but above all, be predictable, and be kind and be caring. Simple as that. When we come back, our story is all about what happens when fast fashion meets face masks here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.